Welcome to The Brainstorm, episode 84. Frank with us to discuss the MCP, the Marvel Cinematic, just kidding, MCP, not Marvel. Frank, what is it?
Stands for Model Context Protocol. It was released by Anthropic in November 2024. I think it's been pretty steadily gaining traction amongst developers, and a lot of people are talking about it on X. So last week, OpenAI announced they would start supporting it within ChatGPT. So we figured finally a good time to talk about it.
What it is
at the high level is essentially a communication protocol that allows AI applications to talk to services that live on the internet. Those could be just searching over the internet generally, databases, tools generally. It's an integration framework to make LLMs more capable.
So why are people...
How does it differ from what is out there today?
So without MCP, if you wanted to extend your AI applications, originally when LLM APIs first came out, so think the GPT 3.5 API from OpenAI in 2022, if you wanted to make that LLM more capable or make your AI application more capable, you had to build custom integrations, basically have some logic for making the LLM, if it wants to talk to a web API to query a database, really trying to coerce the model to spit out a code that can then you extract from the response to the model and actually then have whatever your development environment is, go query that API, return the result, feed it back into the model. Basically, very complicated and time intensive to build out. And every developer building an AI app has to do that for every service they're integrating into. And the middle ground between that world and where we are today was actually OpenAI's custom GPT, where they made it, this is probably came out a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more, made it easier to integrate tools into your LLM application. But it was specific to the ChatGPT app and people creating custom GPTs to deploy into the ChatGPT app. What Anthropic created with MCP is basically that, but fully open source. So anybody can build essentially what's called an MCP server to integrate or make it easier to integrate any third-party API or web service with any AI application that is built to support MCP.
How does this figure into the future of agentic AI? Because the way that I'm hearing it, it's, okay, it was kind of hard for these AIs to go out into the World Wide Web and understand all of these different web interfaces. Now what we're doing is kind of rewriting or structuring data so that it's much easier for the AI to interact with what we as humans have been interacting with for the past 2+ decades. Is that kind of what's happening here? And then how does that help us get to this next level of agentic AI?
Yeah, I would think of it as when you go about doing work, you use a variety of tools, and a lot of the tools are accessed through your computer and they exist on the internet, whether it's Google or maybe Perplexity or operating with files on your file system. All these things are different tools that exist in the context of your work life. And MCP makes it easier to bring those tools and give them to your model so your model can interact with those tools. Right. So if you're just,
I was going to say, hearing you describe it, isn't it like removing the layer of abstraction? Right. So it's like, how do we use the internet? Well, we need graphics on a website and a user interface because we're humans and we're using a mouse and a keyboard. And then it's like LLMs with MCP. You're saying, okay, let's forget that level of abstraction. Here's like a database. I know what's on the internet. Here's the API. Like, we don't need to go through like the step of creating an agent that can then use the computer like a human. We're just saying your computer, you're talking to another computer, talk like computers.
I mean, yes, in a way that's right. I think that it could be an abstraction layer as well, where one of the tools could be computer use and controlling your browser. So I think both of those can actually exist because it's a very generalized thing. But there's a lot of use cases to your point where if an API exists for something, it may be way more efficient to go to the API to get the data you need than going to a website and clicking around. So, for example, like CoinMarketCap.com has the current price of all crypto tokens. And if I wanted my LLM to be aware of the current price of all crypto tokens, I could have it go and scrape that website in real time every time I wanted it. And that would take a long time and be error prone. Or I could have it go to the CoinMarketCap API and say, get all tokens. And it's much, much more streamlined.
What example would it be more efficient to do the computer use version, as in you train a large language model to use a computer like a human does, versus what MCP offers, which is use a computer like a computer would? I feel like MCP is just significantly more efficient, but what is an example where maybe that's not the case?
Well, again, MCP can be like a service that you give your AI, or a tool can be go use the computer like a human. So it's kind of an interface for doing either of those two things. Okay. Talk to the API or go use the computer like a human. Like you could call Anthropic's computer use model to go do that, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's really just like, think about it as extensibility for your LLM. But the reason, like an example where you would want to use computer use versus a web API, is if there is no web API.
Right.
So if you wanted to, like the examples of OpenAI's operator, which can basically use the open web to accomplish tasks, like going to book a reservation on OpenTable or going to browse Google Flights to get you flight data. If there's not a readily available API for that, you default to using the open web because there isn't an API.
Right.
So it's kind of like, if there is a highly performant computer language to use, you want to use that. If that doesn't exist, which maybe that's, you know, X percent of things that you can do online, the other, let's say 80% is traditional, you know, navigate like a human would.
Why would there not be a web API?
Okay. So traditionally, people built websites for humans to consume.
Right, right, right.
And then APIs, you know, made it easier for machines to consume content from the internet. And it takes work to build both a website and a developer API. And not everybody does the work for both of those for their service.
Right. But not with vibe coding, right? Now it's, you know, we're going to have agents coding all of this. So my guess would be, like, if I had to make a bet, this is like where the future.
Well, yeah, actually, I think Anthropic, when they released MCP, talked about how Claude was actually, which is their version of ChatGPT, good at creating MCP servers.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have like agents talking to agents and other tools using MCP, and also agents helping to create new tools and create new MCP servers to interact with those tools and create new AI apps. Generally, AI is like supercharging all of it.
Yeah. We're like deep in the rabbit hole. This is going to be like the plumbing of the new internet that at the end of the day, consumers will not know much about, but it's how all of this ends up just working.
Yeah, I think so. I think it makes it like a good example for like if you've used Claude or the early versions of ChatGPT, they couldn't search the web and you had to wait for the primary developer of that app to turn on web search as a feature, which Anthropic just did a few weeks ago.
Right.
With MCP, it's kind of like extensible. Like you don't have to wait for Apple to build a really good stocks app. You can go download Robinhood.
Right.
So MCP basically like it's not an app store because it's not the same kind of walled garden dynamic, but it is a way to easily extend. It's more like a browser extension for Google Chrome.
Right.
So it's browser extension for LLMs. And it's significant because it's gaining traction across. Is this like one of the first things that's really gained traction across different providers, LLMs, or not really? Like, why is this? Why is this meaningful versus all the other stuff?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the first, but it's one of the few very popular shared things. So, for example, OpenAI, when they created the original like GPT API, they called it the chat completions API. It has a certain like syntax to it that quickly became the standard. So you can use the same Python library, for example, and just switch out a variable to change if you want to talk to OpenAI's GPT-4 or Anthropic's Claude 3.5 Sonnet. So that already is a standard that the community has kind of aligned to. LangChain, for example, is a pretty popular library for building like agents with sequential tasks and using different models at different times. This is a new one that's, you know, really gaining traction, I think going to continue to be used. I think it's notable that, you know, OpenAI is adding it to their front end, even when they had, you know, the custom GPTs, that's more like the proprietary version of an MPC server.
And is so who's the winner? Or I guess, what are the implications here? Is it like what Nick's saying? It's just, this is a public utility, good for everyone? Or is this good for Anthropic because Claude's great at creating MCPs, and that gives them an edge.
I would say more public good than good for any one company. It's an open protocol. Like, you could think of it as HTTP, but for LLMs. So it's kind of good for everybody and accelerating the pace of capability advancement in the industry, because now it's much easier to extend the functionality of whatever AI app you're building. Like, it's not just for the chat assistants or agents like ChatGPT and Claude or Grok. It's XAI hasn't announced support yet, but they might. It's also for the AI coding assistants like Cursor or Replit, for example. You can say, oh, I want my coding agent that's in my development environment to be able to search the web and access my file system better and look up things in my database or my knowledge repository that has all my code documentation. So it can be used kind of generally across many things and just speeds up AI advancement.
The other AI news this week, Llama 4, some controversy.
A little bit of controversy. Reports from people familiar with the matter at Meta that were working on the team suggest that they were struggling to hit their internal targets for benchmark ahead of benchmark performance ahead of LlamaCon, which is Meta's AI event they're hosting for the first time, that is going to be at the end of this month. And apparently, I mean, the allegation is, which we don't know if it's true or not, a few people resigned because they've thought that training data was basically being fed into the model so it would perform better on benchmarks. Basically, cheating on the test. A few Meta employees are accusing them of that. Yeah, which would not be good. Bad luck.
So they're plateauing while we're getting the Twitter posts of AGI and super intelligence in 2027. So what do we make of it?
That's a very good question. I mean, it's you could see the continuous steady pace of the industry, but at any one point you might have companies falling behind or jumping ahead. And I think Meta with, Llama 2 especially and Llama 3 was really like the frontier of open source performance. Out of nowhere, relatively, they have a competitor with a seemingly more performant model in DeepSeek from China that's also pursuing open source. And then they also have, on the just general consumer app adoption side, XAI come out with the Grok dedicated app that has been, when we look at user numbers, the fastest growing application outside of ChatGPT that is now also a marginal competitor. So I think they're in maybe feeling like they're in a different place. But a lot of these changes, especially on like the model performance side, can be step function, where it looks like they're falling behind, and then there's a new research breakthrough and boom, they're at the top again. So I think it's hard to predict in the short term how the leaderboard looks, so to speak. But from consumer adoption, you could see these standalone apps and the inflection relative to, I guess Meta does have meta.ai, but it's not widely used. But we know that, I think Zuckerberg said they have 700 million monthly actives across, their platform of apps. I question how many of those are people accidentally asking Meta AI instead of searching for whatever they're searching for on Instagram. But they clearly have that distribution to sell into, plus WhatsApp, I think, has from business perspective.
Yeah, because it's blended into the native search, at least on Instagram. So you can get some cases where maybe you didn't actually mean to query Meta AI and you just wanted to do an actual like native Instagram search. I've had that happen a few times. Not accused. I'm sure they have close to 700 million monthly actives, and that number, I would feel pretty comfortable in, but you're definitely going to have some of that happening. I think it is interesting, though, that we're still, I guess I've always been anti-benchmark because I don't really think it showcases the usability from the consumer end, as in just because it does better on one of these benchmarks. That's not ultimately, in my opinion, why one of these services will win out. If the performance gap narrows and you're talking about, what is it, Chatbot Arena, where they're, they're inching up like a couple points each time. Is that really making a difference at the end of the day? I don't know. I think, look at what happened with OpenAI and this most recent Studio Ghibli. Is that how you're pronouncing it? That wasn't really it was a performance improvement on the photo side, but it was like a viral moment that you couldn't really capture by just showing like, oh, it does better on a benchmark. It was something like that just happened organically and became like a phenomenon.
It's
for
the
like
vibes,
a couple weeks.
Nick. It's the vibe.
I mean, there is a bit of, on the consumer side, there absolutely is a little bit of the vibe
Well, and that's kind of like the step function change where like they hit some, you know, if there's a continuum of performance on image generation and the ability to follow your instructions to generate an image, they hit some level with this that was reliable enough that you could create this viral meme out of it that was repeatable by, you know, hundreds of millions of people that tried it.
But my, right. I guess and my point is
the capability was that they could understand text and they could accurately put text in the image. Right.
But I don't really think it was that, because it was really just like a moment in time, and it's still somewhat going on, where everyone was doing that specific version of photo generation, of like that style of animation, which, to be honest, I didn't even know was really it. Like, that was the first time I heard the term, and I'm sure it was for a lot of people, even if they're not willing to admit it. Right. And it was like the one.
You don't post, like Miyazaki movies?
But my point is, like, it was that one post by Sam Altman that sparked this like incredibly viral moment within the large language model community and usage, which, again, like, you can't capture that in a benchmark, which is why I like, well, obviously that, they're important, but I don't think at a certain point it becomes about something different and it becomes marketing and distribution. And that's,
well, Nick, you know, that's why I want to ask you a point that Frank brought up, which is, do you still use Perplexity?
I do. Yeah.
Really?
It's my, I mean, for me, it's right on my home screen. I have not downloaded Grok standalone app yet, because I have Perplexity Pro, so I use it. And I think for search capabilities, it, you know, it's not any worse than it was 2 weeks ago or before Grok. So it's still suiting my needs.
Interesting. Just because I normally have a X window open. So now it's like I go Grok
on your phone
instead of I'm, you know, when I work during the day, I'm normally on a computer.
I guess, yeah, I'm talking about outside.
So let me out, like, there, this is like a very multidimensional race, because there is the consumer element and the dynamics that drive consumer adoption. There's the enterprise deployment, like OpenAI's deep research, for example, I would put in that category of creating super in-depth research reports. There's also a hardware versus software component, where I would say that's one category where Meta is certainly still in the lead. Like, they have the most widely adopted, I would say, I don't know the specific numbers, but consumer AI dedicated device in the Meta Ray-Ban glasses.
Well, and they also have applications that you use probably more than any other application on your phone. As in, like, for the majority of consumers out there, for at least your social media usage, it's probably TikTok 1, Instagram 2. Now, if Meta and their approach is, let me embed directly into this app that you use for 30 minutes to an hour a day, directly into that, shopping, search, all of this functionality. That's how you get to that, like we talk about super apps and, you know, the everything app. That's how you get to that. And I think that's their take. Like, okay, you're already spending all this time in Instagram. Let me just embed native search right there.
Who do you think is going to do the shopping the best? Like, the ability to go tell my agent to go buy me something?
Amazon. I mean, that was big news. We didn't even talk about that, but that is actually very big news. The fact that Amazon now allows you to search across other marketplaces and other storefronts directly on Amazon. And it has native one click, but, you know, they will process your payment and fill in all of your information on that other website or marketplace for you. Which, again, it comes back to, okay, if Amazon is already my default marketplace and I'm going there for the majority of my purchases, and now those like extra purchases where I can't find it on Amazon or I found a better price somewhere else, but it's still kind of, it takes a long time to fill out the forms compared to having everything saved on Amazon. If they're able to take over that type of purchasing, I mean, I think Amazon is far and away could be a leader in that space.
I thought about it because Microsoft had a Copilot event last week, and it's a bit confusing because they have the same brand name, I think, for their consumer Copilot app and the business product that everybody knows. And they announced Copilot Shopping. I was just thinking, I can't picture Microsoft doing this well, but that's the same intent, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to think about where companies sit today and what they already offer consumers. If they can naturally extend their lead and use AI to supplement or advance what you're already doing with them, they should win. I mean, it's their
it's theirs to lose.
It's theirs to lose. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I'll bring it all the way around. Maybe we're all wrong and there's some new startup that's going to come out and build the best agentic shopping, and it'll be available via MCP for anybody to connect to.
It's possible. It's possible, but I mean, there's, yeah, we could spend another couple hours talking about why you'd need physical infrastructure, you know, so many different components that go into shopping that ultimately AI doesn't necessarily service, or it's kind of just the front end of the journey for a
I'm
package.
Thinking more of an aggregator of marketplaces.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like
aggregators, whatever. Sure. Yeah.
All right. I think this was a good wandering brainstorm, and we'll wrap it there. So right. We've got the plumbing being built for the agentic future.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you, everyone.
ARK Investment Management LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other. And therefore, ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.